He needs them now more than ever. Yeah, you know? It's the little things that are getting
even,
him through.
Even
the
bosses like to dream.
Smell of fresh Italian leather.
Fresh? Yeah, straight off the cow onto your foot.
Stop you there, Jez.
Still bloody.
I'm in a real identity crisis here, Al.
Nothing penetrates within Darcy.
Who do you see in the mirror?
Hey!
Fell grey, hot.
Hello and welcome to the Incomplete Series, your incomplete guide to every television show you've never watched. This is the podcast where we watch the first episode of a TV series and then the very last episode of that TV series and just try and figure out what happened. Joining me to do this is my good friend, Jeremy Wiseman. Jerome, how are you?
I'm good.
Sorry,
I'm nice.
I apologize for the timing there.
I'm a nice distance from
you. Yeah, you are. I apologize for the timing. Is it you literally took a swig of beer as I said, Jeremy, how are you?
That's right. No, I knew how much time I had. I've done this
did
before.
You did? Yeah.
I know how much you like to drag out the intro and really sort of make it about you for the first 30 seconds.
I try to. I'm a pro. What can I say?
Yeah, you know, doing well.
Yeah, isolation's treating you okay?
Yeah, you know, I've only eaten one of my limbs so far.
Oh, that's good.
Out of boredom. Yeah, so three to go. Mm.
Speaking of isolation, this must be no change for you, Scott. Scott, how are you?
Whoa, hey. Whoa. Ouch.
I mean,
brutal.
I would have gone to Aaron for that one, but you were the next person in screen, so.
Wow, yeah. Hot damn. Well, look, am I having a good time?
Just.
It's been okay. That's all I got to say.
That's it? That's it? You're done?
That's it. That's it. I mean, you are a head in the jar, but.
Yeah. I mean, I've eaten literally.
It's a good look for you.
Yeah.
You'd already eaten your entire body.
Yeah, I did it preemptively before the lockdown.
That's good. That's
can't
good.
Get a virus if you've got no body.
It's true. It's try true. Getting my lungs. I don't think so.
And Aaron, how are you?
I am good, or I was good until I got slighted and shoved to the back of the introductions. I think we need to invest in some kind of virtual podcasting table so we can recreate our usual setup, but remotely.
Oh, do
so
we
some kind of VR thing where we're all around a table.
I like this.
Yeah.
That would...
You should take your beef. Your beef is not with Morgan. It's with Scott for jumping the
it's
queue.
True.
Well, no,
we
I mean...
We don't need queue jumpers like him in this country.
He's the head in the jar, so I had to put him down. This is my fault.
Just move him. Just pick him up. Move him to the back.
Nah, he'll.
Or has he got like a big?
He'll bite me.
He's got like a big burly guy that carries him around or something.
Yeah, yeah. I've got an Agnew. Nah.
Just put the lid on.
What
the
do
jar.
You normally feed him? Just like, is it just like flakes? You just pour into the top of the jar, or like,
exclusively fish food.
Fish food, and I just
you know,
beans.
Ask for it.
Just pour a can of beans in there, whole can.
Nah, no beans in this economy, Morgan.
Drain.
I panic bought them all.
Are they drained? No.
Yeah.
Just liquid and all. Get real murky in there.
I'm going to be more bean than man.
Swimming in aquafaba.
Ew.
There's no limit on fish food at the moment. There's a limit on canned goods, but fish
exactly.
food exists. So live like
you're
kings.
You'll be eating fish food soon enough.
You're ahead of the game.
But how is isolation?
I'm ahead in the game.
Treating us all. We're all... This is our first pod since the... pandemic world we live in now. I for one I'm happy. This is better for me. I have less contact with people, and I get to spend more time with my dog, so really big wins for me.
Yeah, but no sport, so
no, that sucks. That sucks massively.
I mean,
have you guys, I don't know, Jez, probably more of a question for you, and Aaron for you, not so much for you, Scott. Have you guys watched any old football?
No, I've seen some clips.
I don't know, it just doesn't do it
for me.
No, me neither. And I found myself, I watched the first half of a 2003 Brisbane Lions North Melbourne game. I had no idea what the result was, but I just couldn't, like, just you want to lock in. But the fact that it happened 17 years ago, I'm just not that into it.
That, yeah, it kind of takes the sheen off it a
Morgan,
little bit.
I've got a solution for you. Are you ready for this?
Not really, but I'll listen.
Okay. If you had the chance to, what you should have done was delay every game that you've ever watched by, I don't know, maybe like, how many games do you think you've watched in your lifetime? Maybe like 900?
Let's just say that 900.
Let's say about 900. Just delay them by like a day, and then you could just continue continue on your trajectory, sort of like stretch it out, and you would still be experiencing a football season in a linear pattern.
So this is like behind what he should have done.
Yeah. Should have started this 20 years ago.
Egg on your face, Morgan.
I was going to say, I felt like I wasn't getting what you were saying, but it sounds like I understood perfectly, and it still doesn't help me at all.
Or perhaps
should have thought.
I'm just saying, for the next quarantine, maybe you'd make a different choice.
Stockpiling. Or perhaps the AFL should have just said that games are going ahead and started just showing old games like that, but present them as though it is currently happening. And as soon as anyone starts questioning why are all these old players there, they can just sweep it under the carpet.
Or you could deepfake the new players onto them.
Oh, yeah.
Hit them with the Men in Black thing.
That'll work.
Problem solved. Men in Black thing would solve a lot of issues right now.
I think so.
It really would. People would have no idea of life prior to quarantine.
We'll be a lot happier. Quarantine.
I mean, I for one have been watching more TV.
I've been watching a lot of TV.
And I was in... I don't want to take too much credit, but I did suggest we do Who's the Boss.
You did.
And it came to me in a dream.
You promised us you wouldn't mention that.
But that dream was not actually a dream. It was an episode of Community. And they've just put Community on Netflix. And I forgot how good that show was.
That is a very good show.
And I watched the episode with the Who's the Boss thing in it. And I was cracking up. I'm like, how have we not done this show? So
here we are. That's why you're front runner for being the boss so far, Jez. You're on the lead. By the end of the episode, we'll
if this
decide.
Episode goes poorly, yeah. Well, so for the we've got a bit of a like, it's like the worm for you know election debates, but it's split into like four quadrants, and it's a little circle that's slowly going to move into each of our quadrants depending on who's more of the boss that gives up.
So at the moment, you've got the worm, so you're the boss.
I've got the. I'm holding the boss stick.
Boss worm.
But that's not to say that I'm the boss, all right? We haven't solved this yet.
It's very early. So you're just acting boss.
You don't want to call it too
early. Just conding us the box.
What I was going to say was, if this episode goes poorly, Scott, can you just edit that bit out where I said that I came up with the... I suggested this show?
Absolutely. But I do want a boss by the end of this episode. We have to designate one of us will be the boss.
We'll figure that out. But...
Morgan likes to think that it's him.
I do, but
because he does the intro.
Like most things that I lead in my life, I'm merely a face of a puppet regime, and much the same as this, I am the puppet. Who is the master? We don't know yet. We'll work that out. Maybe I'm the puppet master, and I'm controlling myself. That seems less
what
likely.
A twist.
When your keynote speaker comes out, or when the main event comes out, there's always someone there to warm up the crowd or introduce.
Of course.
You know, that's you. You're not the main event. You're just buttering the crowd up for what's to come. So we can rule you out. Can we just put Scott? You just put a big X through Morgan's quadrant.
I don't think we can rule me out. We could just
turn it into a triangle, if you want.
Why am I?
All right, we'll turn it into a triangle.
Aaron, Scott, don't listen to him. He's just trying to eliminate me.
You can be the worm, Morgan. You can be the worm.
I don't want to be the worm.
You spoke first.
I want to be the boss. What are you talking about? It's a classic.
The boss wouldn't say the classic
power play.
The boss wouldn't say that. The boss would not say that.
I would disagree.
You got a lot to learn about being the boss.
Evidently. Good thing I started by watching Who's the Boss, and that gave me some insight into who is the boss. So anyway, we did Who's the Boss. Had you guys watched any of this at all? Did you know anything about this show prior to looking at it?
I knew that it was the show that made Tony Danza famous.
Yes, I was aware of that much.
I'm surprised about how little I knew when I watched the first episode. I thought I knew. Was he in Full House? Who's in Full House?
No,
he's got looks like
Tony Danza. John Stamos.
Okay, all right. Well, no, I've got no idea. I don't think I've ever seen an episode. I mean, it ended, you know, when we were we were just weans. Mm.
Yes.
Yeah, it was entirely unfamiliar, like staggeringly unfamiliar.
Mm.
Even the theme song, nothing. Not a single bell was rung. There's a path you take and a path not taken. Choice is up to you, my friend. Paths are long, but you might awaken to a brand new life. Brand new life, a brand new life around
me. I'm so sure that I must have had like some nugget of Who's the Boss in my brain, but it just wasn't there. Couldn't tap into
the name. Absolutely nothing. I didn't even know that Tony Danza was in this show. I just know that Tony Danza is a thing.
Yeah, I I'm with Jeremy, and this is it. I feel like I knew so much about this show, but then by watching it, it turns out I knew virtually nothing.
It's just so heavily referenced.
Yeah, it is. And I'm aware of Tony Danza, but I'd not really seen any of his work, with the exception of Don John, which I actually watched the other day.
Oh, I saw that. Yeah.
Yes, but he's in that being a, like...
he's a father.
A Tony from
playing,
Who's the Boss
he's
type.
Playing Tony character. He's playing Tony Danza, but Tony Danza at like 60 is who he's playing.
It's a good movie.
That is a good movie.
But he's still got like this singlet and the...
Yeah.
Still beefcake.
I will say he's still beefcake. Yeah.
He's still beefcake.
He's still jacked. He's actually pretty good at that. He's only a short. Only a short performance, but it's a peak dancer.
Hey, he's pretty good in Who's the Boss.
He's pretty good in Who's the Boss. The one that sort of got me was I didn't realize Judith Light was in this, and I kind of didn't know what she was famous from. Just that she'd been in Law and Order, and she was in that show Transparent with Jeffrey Tambor, and this is where it all began for her. Also, she's a dog in Broad City, but we won't get into that because it's kind of hard to explain.
An actual dog?
There's a dog called Judith Light in that show. It's quite strange. And I never quite understood the reference. And watching
Do you
Who's the Boss didn't actually... Well, it didn't really shed any light on it either, so...
Is the dog the boss in Broad City?
Yeah, the dog is the boss in Broad
All
City.
Right, good.
Who's dog?
Tony Danza's.
Get into it
no,
now.
No, I don't want to get into it. It's
if we're especially if we're talking about the only way that we know about this show is through like other references to it, might as well explain those references.
No, it'll play out over the course of the episode.
Has it got like fluffy white hair or something?
It's an Afghan, so it's got the long flowing blonde hair.
Oh yeah, I can see that.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. That's all you have to say. That makes sense.
That's all you
have to say.
As
soon as I thought about it, I actually realized. Yeah. Oh dear.
You spent all that time pushing back. That was not a boss move. You should have just a real boss would have just explained the reference.
True.
Scott, can we get the chart?
That little worm. That little worm going.
Well, I thought I was the worm. I'm going to worm myself into my own direction.
Yeah, the worm, are worming away from your own quadrant. That's how much of a not boss you are.
The worm is your puppet master.
Should we get into the first episode?
I think so.
Pilot of Who's the Boss kicks off with father and former baseball pro Tony Maselli and his daughter leaving their old neighborhood in Brooklyn for greener pastures and a new live-in nanny job in Connecticut.
You gotta admit, this neighborhood is falling apart. I mean, look at Samantha. When she starts coming home with black eyes, I think it's time for me to get out.
Upon arrival to his new potential employer's home, single mum and high-powered businesswoman Angela Bauer is unsure of having a male nanny, but is eventually talked around by her mother and Tony into giving him a trial.
I guess we could give it a try.
We got ourselves a new pan, all right.
Rich, I get my own room?
Oh, yes, you can have the sewing
room. I'm going to get our stuff into the van.
The first test comes when Angela comes home with her boss, Grant. After a run-in with Tony, Grant leaves in a huff with a promotion for Angela dangling. Grant then invites Angela away for a weekend, but Tony convinces her she shouldn't do it just to get the promotion.
It's just taken me a long time to get this far, and I'd really love to go all the way.
Yeah, I know, it's
like... But nothing was going to happen here.
She still gets a promotion, and Tony gets the permanent gig at the Bauer household.
All right, first thing I want to address is the move. So he moved from Brooklyn to Connecticut. It seemed like when he was packing up car, AWOL is correct, packing up the car was like a big, like cross-country, life-changing move, right?
Yeah.
How far do you think it is between Brooklyn and Fairfield, Connecticut?
I have no idea.
An hour? 45 minutes?
1 hour and 7 minutes. That's where he was moving.
Jeez.
Now, that was a bit of a surprise. It seemed like a whole
big
thing.
He's going to miss the heartbeat of the city.
Yeah, I know. No one will understand him up there in Connecticut.
They've never seen a guy for a city slicker.
No. I thought
Italian American.
I did like how the neighborhood he was in just has become just an absolute, like it was a shithole. There was one homeless guy at the back, and that was pretty much the description of why the place is falling apart. Oh, it's not really a nice neighborhood no more.
Well, my goodbyes are tough, huh? I thought I noticed a tear in one of the cockroach's eyes.
Yeah, and his daughter got a black eye as well.
Yeah, she started though.
You know?
She was a real piece of work.
Yeah. And the other guy was sneezing out of his ear, I think she said.
Yeah. What does that mean?
I think it means she broke his nose so bad that he now breathes through his ear.
Oh, okay.
She altered the course of human evolution.
Sweet.
That's how bad.
That's a pretty bad beating.
Yeah, like they had to leave town because the lawyers were coming after her. She was going down. She killed a guy.
Yeah.
Sounds worse than death. If you ask me.
Young Alyssa Milano killed a guy.
Yeah, that's why they had to.
Did you guys clock that this was Alyssa Milano?
Nope, not in the first episode.
I saw her name come up in the credits. I was like, oh, shit.
I did some preemptive IMDb research and noticed that she was in it.
I didn't realize she was a child star. I guess it's true for like a lot of...
Yeah.
You just assume, you know, the first thing you see them is the first thing that they've been in. Like, you assume Charmed was the start of her career because we didn't grow up.
No, no. Mm. She plays John Matrix's daughter in Commando, the Schwarzenegger classic.
Nice. Mm.
Just true.
What a movie.
Yeah. What a movie. I got to say, this first episode was not as bad as I thought it was going to be. It was actually...
Mm-mm.
Pretty fine for a... opener of a sitcom.
And ordinarily, I can find a lot of things that don't age well. This was pretty okay. This
show is pretty wholesome.
Pretty okay.
Yeah.
On the whole.
Yep.
Danza's pretty funny.
They still had... There's still a fair bit of like innuendo and stuff. And they haven't done it in a way that seems passé. And like they're, you know, commenting on traditional gender roles. Because she's reluctant to accept him as the maid at first.
Mm.
Yeah, yesterday, she gave me the once-over, kicked me in the tires, put me up on a rack.
Hell, she should have checked under your hood, because you're the wrong sex.
Oh.
But it doesn't, like, it hasn't just, it doesn't, it's not completely crass, like a lot of shows that we've watched from this era that just age like milk.
Like, overtly sexist or racist without, and not even trying to hide it. Whereas... As you said, the flipping of gender roles is actually something that's quite, I don't know, you could almost say, call it progressive in terms of 1982 for the show, that show.
Yeah, and it's not, no one like downplays him as being the one, I think the one mention of it is, what was her boss's name? Grant or something?
I think.
Yeah, the male Mary, he calls him male Mary Poppins.
We decided his name Grant.
Calls
him male Mary Poppins.
I don't have to explain my behavior to a male Mary Poppins. Mary Poppins, eh? You're lucky I like that movie. I take care of it.
Behave yourself.
I was like, that's pretty funny.
Danza was pretty funny. I got some actual laughs out of this. I will say the boss, though.
He wasn't
bad. Grant, was he a old-looking young person or a younger-looking old person? I couldn't quite figure that out.
I think he's a young-looking old
person. That's what
person.
I thought.
Yeah. Gone grey early. Rose to the top of his field.
President of his field, whatever his field is. Advertising?
I think it's advertising.
Something like that?
Yeah.
The one thing this show did lean into heavily, and it probably did it more in the finales, was it was carrying a lot of Italian stereotypes, and as many that it was just shoving as many as it could possibly do. Did you guys know that Tony Danza was actually Italian?
What?
Was
he?
He's a real Italian.
They're pretty subtle.
Yeah, it was very subtle.
They don't really draw attention to it.
Which, I mean, considering that hasn't aged poorly, it kind of indicates that that's still all right these days.
True. You can
Italian
still be Italian.
Still has a lot of legs.
Back then, it would have had a bit more sting to it to make fun of Italian people.
You reckon?
Because they were, immigrant class. If you
all right, so it was so you had more to, malicious.
So you had to
doing.
Do less to insult them.
Potentially. Like, they were in Brooklyn, they came from a hard neighborhood, whereas now that wouldn't be the Italian Americans. I don't know. In the 80s.
So does that reflect well?
But
or
it didn't. It didn't. It didn't seem that bad.
It didn't.
I think maybe that what comes across now is pretty tame. Maybe back then was like
a little more on the edge.
So they're really going after the Italians.
A little more on the edge. Yeah,
possibly
like trying to drive them out of Brooklyn.
Yeah, maybe.
Danza was he'd come off doing Taxi with Andy Kaufman and Danny DeVito. So I think it's and well, funnily enough, he was called Tony in that and Tony in this. Can play himself. Got some serious range.
He just can't comprehend the role if he's not called Tony.
Nah, he's got to be.
But
gotta
who
be Tony.
Am I meant to be? I only know how to be Tony.
Am I Tony or am I the boss?
He's Tony or the boss?
The boss of
totally
Tony.
Play.
Come on.
So it's possible that, but I don't. It's possible that's kind of it was a little more on the edge, but I think it was more because Tony was playing himself. He came up with the idea. I'm from Brooklyn because Italians are from Brooklyn, and he was probably from Brooklyn. So it just that's kind of just made sense.
Fits.
But who knows? I think
it had a tidy little backstory, former pro ball player, threw his shoulder out looking for work, lost his young wife.
It's beefcake.
It's a sad story. He's beefcake. Serious beefcake.
He's a beefcake.
Mm. Yeah, I
can make some mean eggs.
Not eating eggs. Shady scrambled.
Yuck. Isn't there anything else?
Yeah, hunger.
Loves kids.
Mm. Loves kids.
Gets overly familiar with them very quickly.
Very quickly. That's his move. Hey, Jez, would you say that you're a regular Henny Youngman?
Henny Youngman.
Yeah. I reckon he dabbles.
Is he the kid that plays Jonathan?
No. There was just a couple of references in this that I just had no idea. Like, they would just say at one point, Angela? Angela's the boss?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. When he was talking about him being the male nanny type
stuff.
Yeah,
right. Gotcha. Yeah, Angela's mum says...
He's got a sense of humor. A regular Henny Youngman.
And there was like probably three in there that I just was... Like, I had no idea who they were talking about.
How obscure is this?
Well, Henny Youngman is like a English-American comedian and musician famous for his mastery of the one-liner. His best-known one-liner being, "Take my wife, please."
All right.
Hilarious. So, like a Bob Hope type, or who's the guy? Rodney Dangerfield.
Yeah, Danza had a fair bit of Rodney Dangerfield about him, I reckon.
Mm.
Okay. What, that photo you have up right here looks quite old. When was he operating?
He was born in 1906. So,
all right, that's a deep cut.
But his shtick was sort of a little bit... Clearly had a violin. That was his thing.
No, I've seen...
A lot of photos of him with a violin.
He's in... I think he's... He's in one of the Indiana Jones movies, I think.
I've got
this memory of like Indiana Jones being one of the clubs and then a guy with a violin doing one-liners.
He was in Goodfellas as himself.
Okay.
Was he the boss of Indy?
Okay, all right.
What's
boss
that?
Of what?
Was he the boss of Indy?
No, he was the boss of the place that Indy was at, I think.
Oh, okay.
The club.
Indiana Jones.
Okay.
I think you're wrong, Jez.
Maybe
something. The worm doesn't take kindly to that, Jez. You're slandering Indy.
That's not a boss move,
God,
Morgan.
I'm crawling away from us, even further away from myself.
I think we've got it down to a triangle now. So we've just got to duke it out. Scott gets some points for the good Henny Youngman reference. So maybe I think it's inching the Morgan head in the triangle of quadrants is inching towards Scott.
It is aged way better than so many of the other shows we've done from...
Really has.
Much more recently. Like, obviously, Men Behaving Badly, yep. That's a given. It, and Rules of Engagement.
Yeah. And they're what, like 12 years old?
Yep.
15 years old kind of thing?
Yeah. Looking forward, yep. Even the finales...
Would you go so far as to say it's a timeless classic?
It's seeming pretty timeless.
Mm.
I enjoyed the pilot and I actually enjoyed the finales. Which we'll get into in a little bit, but
yeah, they were right.
I was pretty engaged. Like, I was actually kind of like really interested to see how it all played out.
Invested in the characters and who the boss was.
Well, normally when we have a three-part finale, and you guys are probably the only other three people in the world that can really sympathize with me in terms of when we get a really long final episode, it can be a bit of a drag, especially if it's a three-parter. But yep.
A la Home Improvement, chucking in a needless montage second episode in the three part.
Glad we didn't get one of those.
Just a real kick in the nuts.
And Jags, what the hell? It's finale, which I think was a 90-minute special as well, was a bit of a drag. Mm. But this definitely got into the Star Trek Next Gen category, which was a pretty enjoyable elongated finish.
What a weird Venn diagram.
Again, it's very unique and it's very centric to this particular group of people and this particular circumstances. So my worm would be my head would be worming towards the Star Trek side of the Venn diagram.
Mm.
Yeah. Okay.
Whilst Jez, on the other hand, probably over towards the Who's the Boss, because he's at the moment seeming like more of a boss.
Still a lot of podcasts to go, Scott. Still a lot of podcasts to go.
Yeah.
Early days.
Yeah, I want to call it too
I like
early.
Seeing. I love an underdog more than anyone.
Who was the boss from this first episode, from the pilot?
Okay.
Who?
What was the mum's name?
Angela.
Or the Mona.
No.
The grandma?
Mona. Yeah.
You reckon Mona's the boss?
Or Jonathan. Actually, it could have been Samantha.
I think it was the ambiguity of Grant's age was the boss of this episode.
Interesting. The worm did like that as well. The worm was heading to that quadrant.
Leftover moldy potato salad in a Chinese takeaway container?
This is potato salad.
It's true, but it is green.
Yeah, boss move that.
Oh, that's got worm written all over it.
Is that a boss? No, is
yeah,
that,
that's the boss. The worm loves the it.
Moldy potato salad, boss.
I think it was
no
more
one messed with it.
True, you definitely don't.
Tony's tracksuit pants that went up to his belly button.
Yeah, speaking of timeless, classic.
That's close, the boss. Close? I think that's the boss there.
The baseball bat that he just inexplicably had next to his bed because he was a baseball player.
Him
bat.
Calling Grant a bozo.
Oh, another time.
That's
classic.
A pretty boss move.
Exactly. I think maybe we need to explore the finale.
This quadrant's turning into a
dodecahedron.
Anyway, I think we should... the only way to find out who the boss is to then... is to now take it forward and do the finale, the three-part finale.
The episode begins with Tony graduating from his teaching degree, finally breaking the shackles of being a housekeeper. He's celebrating with his friends and family when somebody breaks the news that he should have started looking for jobs months ago, as teaching positions are hard to come by.
Here's something. Teacher wanted.
That's great. What does it say?
Needed immediately. Fairfield area. Must be athletic. Strict disciplinarian with a knowledge of knots.
Mother, that's the personals.
Tony is dismayed. However, after a brief, unsuccessful stint as a driving instructor, he gets a letter offering him the job of a lifetime, Associate Professor of History and Baseball. The only catch is, the job is in Iowa.
Iowa?
Iowa?
Tony makes the move and is loving his new life. However, he and Angela are struggling to make things work long distance.
Tony, if you leave here... you're going to resent it for the rest of your life, and then you're going to start to resent me.
No way, Angela. That could never happen.
Don't be so sure, Tony. It was starting to happen to me.
Angela eventually leaves her life in Connecticut and moves to be with Tony, but after a month, realizes that she misses her old life, and the two separate. After a few months apart, they realize that they need to be together, and Tony gives up his dream job to become Angela's housekeeper. Again.
Again, very progressive. The man giving up giving up his job, his dream job, to be with the woman.
What was he doing in Iowa?
He was doing a lot.
He was killing it.
He was doing too
it was incredible.
Much.
Was he? He was teaching. Okay. The one scene we got over the three episodes of him teaching someone history was him explaining Germany invading Poland using American football terminology.
That's, now
this
I get
is
it.
Like, that's how you get to the kids.
The defensive line are the Germans, okay? The quarterback is Poland. All right, now. The ball is hiked. The middle linebacker comes crashing through the line and sacks the quarterback. What's that called? A blitz. Bingo. Way to go, Wendell.
You speak their language.
But, this is not a hard period of history to learn about. It's World War II. Everyone should know that Germany invaded Poland. Like, it's one of the most significant things that happened in
Jez,
history.
Have you ever taught a football player before?
And he's struggling to explain it.
Also, was he a university professor?
Yes. So that's why I was saying he's doing a lot. Straight out of college, he gets an associate professorship and head coach of a baseball team at a college where they take baseball very seriously. Mm. That's
evidently.
Like two incredibly
and
high
they apparently they win a lot.
Jobs.
That's two things.
Best baseball team in the Midwest.
Yeah. You're underselling him, Jez.
And all... I think it sort of...
But
the only criticism I had, sorry Jez, was the fact that
you don't apologize to him. He just came in over you.
Yeah, you're true. He just came over top of me. Is he the teacher?
You apologizing to me is not a possibility. Scott, where's the worm?
Shit,
it's out of your quadrant.
I just want to talk quickly about his teaching job, where I assume he got his degree to become a high school teacher, but then somehow all teaching the same, so he just could only get a job as a driving instructor, which I don't really understand. And then he went from that to
that's how it works.
To associate professor at like a
you're
university.
You're a teacher.
Exactly. You can teach driving. Exactly. You can teach maths. You can teach history. You can teach baseball.
He's done well for himself.
So, all right. Maybe it was an all right job, but. They heavily insinuated that the town that he was in Iowa was a shithole and everyone was weird that lived in the town.
Yeah.
And they were like, you know, quite obviously spying on him, etc. He could have just gone back to Connecticut and loaded it up just making lasagna for his...
He could have.
For his wife,
I mean, they
you know,
didn't...
Hanging out with the kids.
They didn't only
he
insinuate
loves, just
that everyone in that town was weird and shifty. They really slandered the entire state of Iowa very hard.
Mm.
That was savage.
Oh, yeah.
Iowa?
Iowa?
Yeah, Iowa. I mean,
I wonder how they got your name.
I don't know. Hey, maybe they got it off a mailing list when I ordered that that Rakin Ho said.
Do you guys understand this? I've never heard a thing about Iowa being some sort of backwater or...
Yeah, it's just nothing but cornfields.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's flat.
Your bland Midwest.
Are they hill shaming them?
Uninteresting.
Is that what you're
saying? I don't have hills.
Well,
it's double or triple landlocked, I think, there.
Unlike so many states in the US.
Too many states. Mm. Guys, trim it down. Get
too many really complex beefs going on between states that we don't understand.
Yeah. Who's the boss is operating on a level way too above what we can comprehend?
Which state is the boss?
Well, it's definitely not Iowa. They had to dig at Idaho as well, so they're out.
Yeah, they're definitely out.
Connecticut? Is Connecticut the boss?
Well, it's not Brooklyn.
It's not even a state.
New York?
Oh, yeah.
California? One of the two. They'd probably juke it
Michigan.
Out.
Michigan.
I think Texas would probably think it's the boss.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, yeah.
Did anyone catch the toilet paper gag?
I'll see you in a couple of weeks. Take care, guys. And, by the way, Angela, you're out of toilet paper.
Topical.
Oh, yes. Timeless classic.
I did as well. I chuckled.
I enjoyed that.
They kind of snuck that in where he brought a virus back with him from Iowa, the shithole. And... gave everyone coronavirus. Yes.
Mm. And then they ran him out of toilet paper and then bailed.
Classic 2020 move.
Yeah. It's very predictive text, this one.
Finger on the pulse.
So you guys find it funny that... So, in the three-part episode, in the recaps for episode 2 and 3, the thing that I open with is Tony's Italian friend. Was it his neighbor from the first episode? Is that the woman that was talking to him?
Giving him a gallon of olive oil.
It's all right, Mrs. Rosini. Hey, I'm just going out there to teach for a year.
Well, you still need these. Gallon of olive oil. And this.
What's this?
Name of the other Italian in Iowa.
They're like, that's the most important thing to recap from the previous episode.
Yeah, I did find that really odd.
You got to have certain rules for your recaps, Jez. And clearly one of them is Italian joke. Every
recap. What the fans want.
Naturally.
Open with the Italian joke. He, at some point as well, he says, what were they trying? They were like, there's some sort of flame near him. And he was saying, you know, you can't set me on fire. I'm highly combustible. My body's like 50%
oil. Yeah, that was because they found a burned effigy of the previous coach in his closet.
Yes, that's right. They burned the last coach.
Apartment in Iowa. Yeah. So...
yeah, get the fuck out of Schneider.
Even more pressure. Really.
They were alluding constantly that the old coach lost his job because he was knocked off because he lost a baseball game.
What do you like being coach around here, huh?
You'll love it. As long as you win.
What happens if you lose?
You're kidding, right?
But they never really resolved that, did they?
Mm. No.
They all heavily alluded to something heavily dark happening.
That they'd kill him if he lost. Yeah.
Which
he
just I got guess lucky. That is what happened seems to the previous reasonable. Coach.
Well, why else would you offer such a coveted position to someone so inexperienced?
It's the last man standing.
But I mean, look, so he's inexperienced in that he probably isn't a great history teacher.
He could be a good baseball coach, though.
They make it obvious.
You'd hope so.
Oh, well, he used to play Major League Baseball. So, you know, that's... you got to presume that he's pretty good at the baseball part. And like the students that he's teaching history to, they don't even know about World War II. So like it's a low base.
Yeah, it's a remedial class.
We could teach history to them.
Maybe. Should we take this?
So, you know.
Should we get this show on the road, take it to Iowa?
I think so. I think we'd live like kings.
We'd live like kings.
You'd live like bosses.
Yeah.
But if you know what? Even I could be a boss there.
Even Morgan could be a boss in Iowa.
But if you throw up any stinkers, they'll burn you alive.
Yeah, true. Can we talk about the phone guy, Ned?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. He was a real creeper.
Real creep.
He's listening in on those phone calls for sure.
Definitely. Also, that that bald mullet, that's not doing him any favours either.
Nope.
It's not a boss haircut.
It's all the rage in Iowa.
But he's got a cap. Morgs, you don't understand. He's got a cap. He can't tell.
Oh, you're right. Until he takes it off for the party. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, he looks like Trevor from GTA 5.
Also, did they made it?
Jeez,
like,
that's specific.
Yeah.
Well, he looked exactly like Trevor from GTA 5. Like,
Trevor, I'm talking to you, motherfucker. I take speed mostly, and look at me, boom, best shape of my life.
So the last episode, Tony's getting an award for teaching, nothing to do with the fact that they won the championship.
Yeah.
In baseball, he's getting an award for teaching as well because he got through to that one knucklehead. And he's wearing a black tux, and the dean of the university comes in a powder blue tux, and he's like gloating that he got like the last
boss
one.
Move.
And they all just wear powder blue tuxes.
Boss move. In Iowa, it's all about the powder blue.
They're taking pretty serious digs at Iowa here, aren't they?
Yeah.
Poor savage. Iowa couldn't even defend itself.
First the Italians, then Iowa. Who's the boss? Takes no prisoners.
And evidently, I mean, I don't know what Angela's company is. I'm assuming it's a marketing company of some description, but I feel like she could probably...
Advertising.
Yeah, but it feels like she could take some of her work with her and set up some sort of base in Iowa, but I guess maybe it's a bit different.
It's like 1992, yeah. Morgan. No internet. I mean, maybe
in that respect, the show wasn't very responsive to the coronavirus sort of
working
mentality.
From home type
really against working from home and it being got, able to move your work around.
Also,
on the toilet paper front, pretty progressive, but working from home, not so much. She even says at one point, she's like, she's looking at like the marketing in the newspaper for a certain business, and he's like,
Piggly Wiggly. Boy, if they were my client, the first thing I'd do is change the... never mind.
Just work in Iowa.
Those people don't have any money.
I thought that's...
Doing all the ads for Iowans.
It's a ghost town.
Iowans. I thought that... what are you talking about there, Scott? I thought when that happened, that was what was going to take place, is that she was going to set up the business in Iowa. But it seemed to be apparently impossible because...
Yeah.
All
that
they
was her,
care about is...
Her, no, she was trying to suppress her marketing juices. I can
she's
stay
just
here.
Knitting Afghans and going bowling. Getting tanked on flights.
Taking sleeping pills and drinking gin teas.
Where's the can? I gotta take a whiz.
Classic American sitcom trope of like, oh no, she's a little bit buzzed at her own party. Everyone better leave. She's clearly got serious problems. Whereas, you know, she's coming in pretty cold by our standards.
You don't get in through the door if you haven't taken three sleeping pills and smashed half a slab of tinnies.
No, I mean, what's the shame in getting tanked at your own party? She's just celebrating herself.
You call the shots.
I would have thought that was a pretty boss move, but apparently not.
So who is the boss in this finale then? Is it Tony? Because he was... Or is Angela still the boss because she chose to get tanked at her own party? And still got the guy.
I think it is the phone guy.
I was going to say the phone guy's hat. That's doing all the heavy lifting.
It's doing a lot of work. It's doing a lot of work. Very true. But he has the confidence to go without it in formal situations.
Yeah, but then
he knows that he's got a bald mullet underneath, but he's got no problems.
Well, he should have problems.
Busting it out.
He's made a critical error right there.
Black tie events.
Without it, he's just Trevor from GTA 5. He's no one.
It's true.
He's not a boss.
The very next scene, though, he is wearing the cap again. So clearly, Angela said made a comment at him at the party.
he only busts it out for special occasions, Morgs. Otherwise, you got to keep it under wraps. It's too much for just
the,
you know, day to day.
The baldness,
the shine.
How do you describe that party at the back and desert on the top?
Iowa on top.
Yeah,
Iowa on top.
So flat.
The remnants of a party.
The ruins of a once great society.
It's like waking up to your house being trashed after a house party and having to clean up.
Oh, God.
At
why
the
do
back.
I keep doing this?
Picking up bottles hungover.
That's
spilling
that's,
warm
that's,
beer on your feet.
Mopping the floors. At the
that's
back.
That's
being and then Iowa at the front.
That's your boss, Jeremy, you're talking about.
But he still rocked it, you know? That's why he's the boss.
He rocked it.
He did. He knew how terrible a haircut it was, but he still pulled it off.
And they know, and he did kill Coach Snyder, so...
That's true.
Unless you want to say it's Samantha's husband.
Are they married?
I think she said
they're married.
Husband at some point, didn't she? Yeah. Comes home after getting his first paycheck and just serves it to Tony.
What a feeling! Having a job is like being on top of the world. It makes a man feel like a man.
Hank, dear.
It's a reason to get up in the morning and live, knowing that I'm a vital, productive worker, a contributing member to society, not some leech.
Hank.
It may not be much, Hank. But at least I'm not a bum.
That's a pretty
that
boss
was
move.
A real boss move.
Your father, just right in front of your father-in-law, just completely belittling, tear down his masculinity.
You know what I found pretty staggering in this finale? Was in the third part, the very final part of this show, at about 12 minutes in, they had the moment where Tony and Angela broke up because the travel back and forth wasn't working. Or Angela wanted to be back in Connecticut. They decided, nah, we're breaking up.
So wait a minute. What are we saying here? That we can't make this work? That it's over?
I'm sorry.
That's a pretty major step to have in a finale. And then literally 4 minutes later...
More than halfway...
4 minutes later, they were back together.
More than halfway through it.
Yeah, they didn't...
I'm surprised they jumped straight to breaking up. Why didn't they just go back to...
Yeah, or if they wanted to deal with that that topic, maybe don't raise it with 8 minutes to go in the entire series.
Yeah, maybe do it at the end of the second... the part two of the finale.
At
instead
the latest.
Of, yeah.
That was ridiculous.
They'd rather just take jabs... Because then they're going to use up time that they could have spent taking jabs at Arwen.
True. You got to hit your quota.
One joke I really enjoyed was the Candy, the former Miss Iowa, as his assistant.
Oh, you'll love her. A former Miss Iowa and a real farmer's daughter, if you know what I mean.
How'd she get the cookies out of the trunk?
Candy?
Yes, you must be
very pleased to meet you.
The lead up to that was quite funny. And also turning out to be Happy Gilmore's mum from Happy Gilmore.
You tell me, how's that nice girlfriend of yours?
Oh, she got hit by a car. She's dead.
Oh, yeah.
Was it really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The marble rye woman from Seinfeld.
Yeah.
No.
Shut up, your bag.
It's his grandma. It's his grandma.
Oh,
grandma,
yeah.
That's right. Yeah.
Hey, grandma.
That's right. Chalk that one up as... 1 point off for Morgan. Which is when we're tallying the scores at the end.
Of a boss. Okay.
Yeah. This is a disaster.
Yeah. Life's falling apart.
Yeah, Morgan's got his head in his hands. He's losing his mind, pulling his hair out.
I've always thought I was a boss. And this entire...
He's pulling his hair out in a vain attempt to sculpt a bald mullet to try and win some
some boss points.
Some points late in the episode.
Gluing it back on. But all in all, this finale was actually pretty good. I really enjoyed the story and the way it all sort of played out. And a pretty good ending.
Mm.
Did you guys kind of enjoy the... Yeah, you know, Tony... I mean, unfortunate for Tony, but I'm sure he'd get a
throwback closing loop.
Yeah.
He's got a year of associate professorship under his belt. Also, he was in the pros. Like, just be a baseball
player. Well, that's what I would have thought. You're in the pros. You know, get a job, like a former baseball player. Get a job as at one of the minor league teams or at another university. They'd take him on for sure, being an ex-pro bowler.
Oh, they all apparently love his cooking as well. Just, you know.
Yeah, he's a whiz. He's got it all, really. He's a catch.
Yeah.
Mm.
He's a legit catch.
He is.
Would you describe him as a renaissance?
The renaissance. Single... a one-man renaissance.
I know what I said. I'm just waiting for an answer.
I mean, if Tony is the renaissance, then it's pretty hard not to give him boss status as well.
I agree.
Change the course
of
history.
Comparing one man to 200 to 300 years of scientific and artistic development throughout all of Europe. Mm.
Given that, he's probably qualified to be a history teacher.
Who would
you
prefer?
Tony the Enlightenment Dancer.
Yeah, he's Italian.
That was his baseball nickname.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's jump into some reboots. Do you guys mind if I go first?
That's a boss move. I like it.
Can I go first, Scott? Because I have some shit. I've got a couple of just half baked shit ideas. Can I just throw those out first, and then we'll get to your actually substantiated.
If I allow you to, does that make me less of the boss?
Asking this question makes you less of the boss.
God damn it.
This makes me the warm-up act for your boss headlining show.
The headline is the boss.
Does that make sense?
Yeah, all right. You talked me into it.
Definitely.
But you worming your way into it. Are you trying to be the worm?
I'm trying to be the worm.
Who's the worm?
Morgan's got it pretty good over there.
It's a good
one. So, Schmooze the Boss, which is just... it's Bruce Springsteen, and each episode it's like a TV, you know, game show kind of, and you just got to schmooze
him. I'd watch that.
Whoever schmoozes him wins.
Love the boss.
And the other one is Use the Floss, which is just kind of like a public health kind of campaign that the government will run with Tony Danza.
Nice.
Like teaching kids to use floss.
Angela would be proud of that marketing campaign.
Yeah, like a PSA. Yeah. Mm. Some sort of ad will come up.
Danza walks out shirtless.
There you go. Yeah, Danza shirtless.
Sells itself.
With his back to the... Oh, wait. Oh. Didn't know you guys were here. You ever get some lasagna stuck in your teeth? You got to clean it out? Use the floss. This announcement is brought to you by the American Dentist Association. And then there you go. That's a reboot. Plus, it kind of like it ties in with his love for the children, and you know,
of course,
wanting to do what's right.
All right, Scott, can you top that?
I'll give it a go. I'll give it a red hot go. So I'm going to do a slight turn at the end of season one. So instead of Tony and Samantha being, you know, sort of just like a lovely father and a quick-witted daughter, instead, at the end of season one, they're going to turn out to be a pair of father-daughter swindlers. What they do is they come into people's lives as like the, you know, the maid sort of live-in nanny situation, take over the occupants' lives and their houses, endear themselves to them, and then rob them silly. So each season, we're going to go to basically like a different family that they're going to try and con. So at the end of season one, they leave the Bauer family in flames and they move on to their next victims. In season two, they're about to secure a job with a family living in New York, which is a well-to-do single father with three kids of his own. Although they actually run into a bit of competition, somebody else who's trying to swindle them out of money.
I saw this coming when you said single father of three. I'm like,
there we go.
Here comes Fran.
So it's going to be Tony Danza v. Fran Drescher in season two of Who's Boss? And essentially, they're just going to like, they're going to duke it out. And I don't know. Does Tony Danza try and get Maxwell Sheffield to fall in love with him? Does he sort of have an ongoing feud with CC Banks and a bit of a rapport with Niles the Butler? I don't know.
Well, yeah. I mean, is he also competing with Niles?
Well, that's true. I didn't actually think about
it. Because he's kind of like a pivot between the two of them.
Or does he just cave Fran's head in with the baseball bat?
I mean, look, there's more than one way to skin a cat. You know?
That's what Morgan's hoping for.
Fingers crossed, my man Danza.
He could just come in hot.
I'm thinking...
Kick the door down, come in swing. All those frail rich kids haven't been in a fight before.
Was he a pitcher or a hitter?
I don't know. He's pretty jacked. He knows his way around a baseball bat. I'd back him.
I think that maybe it's going to be a bit of a rivalry, like Tony v. Fran, Samantha v. Niles. That sort of situation. That's that matchup.
Okay. Yeah, you know? they got the sass to go at each other.
Yeah. Anyway, so that's my reboot of Who's Boss. I don't know who we could possibly extend this out to season three. Maybe get a bit of a Mrs. Doubtfire situation going on.
Oh yeah, that'll work.
Or maybe even a Mrs. Featherbottom. Could do that kind of thing.
I prefer that.
Yeah. Good.
The Arrested Development Who's the Boss crossover that people didn't know they needed.
You would watch that. Come on.
Yeah.
For yep.
I just turned it into a BuzzFeed article, apparently.
I've been there before, Jez. All been there.
Speaking of BuzzFeed. BuzzFeed.
Thank you.
Steal our ideas. BuzzFeed. They do Who's the Boss next. I'll kill him.
Go full Danza on them with that baseball bat.
Cough in an envelope.
You can't say that.
Can't say that.
Dan Andrews will come to your house and arrest you personally.
I mean, I just insinuated that we bash their heads in with a baseball bat. But coughing, that's too far.
We live in a new world.
All right, let's cave there. Let's cave the skulls.
Back to caving legends.
Always wanted to cave a couple of skulls.
You look ready. A little too joyful.
You gotta like what you do, Scott.
That's true. You got a passion for it?
You gotta be your own boss.
And if you're the boss, so be it.
Mind if I jump in now, Morgs?
By all means, similar to Jez, I only have a couple of half-baked ideas.
Oh, well, that's what I was about to say. I'm also similar to Jez.
Quick in and outs.
This is going to be a quick in and out. So I have got a brand new game from Mattel that I think will help us all get through this pandemic. It is called Guess Who's the Boss. We all know the fantastic game Guess Who. Well, now there's the Who's the Boss version where you can guess all your favorite characters. There's Tony, Angela, Samantha, Joey, Mona. That's all. You can have hours of fun playing with each other, guessing who the boss is.
It's a small flipboard. Am I a small
child?
Yeah,
a nice little flipboard. Chuck it in your pocket. Play on the go.
Am I an adult male? Yes. All right. Am I Tony?
Yes. Yes. Damn it. All right, let's go again.
Best of three.
All right, let's go again. Flipping back up.
It's got legs. Hours of fun.
Guess who's the boss? Hour of fun.
That's what it says on the box.
I don't know that you should
An hour tops of fun.
Over the course of maybe 20 years when you know, every couple of years, forget about the game, dust it back
Who
off.
Who's that character again?
Bring it back out.
Oh, that's right.
Shave away another, you know, 5 to 10 minutes of the fun allowance and then rinse and repeat till you got your hour. Mm-hmm. We're talking flagship release for Mattel, like Christmas.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. This is a game changer.
It is.
What was your second half-baked idea?
Oh, no, I just had a single half-baked idea. Quarter-baked, if you will.
Oh, okay. Yeah, quarter-baked.
Yeah. You got a half-baker?
I got a half-baker. Actually, no, it's more of a 1/8 baker. my one is a high-end Italian contemporary shoe store called Shoes the Boss, where... strictly selling in Iowa. Tony Danza's a face and he owns all the stores. So as I said, it's a 1/8 bake.
Oh, I could see it. I could see him.
He's the boss.
Like continuation of the series. When he goes back to Connecticut, opens using some of Angela's money, opens up a shoe store.
Shoes the boss.
That's material. Just importing fine. A lot of Italian shoes.
Have nice shoes.
Fine Italian shoes across, and you know
he scrubbed up pretty well in that black tux. I feel like the man knows his way around a dress.
He does
shoe.
Know his way around a dress shoe.
Just shines him up with olive oil.
He's got the hookups back in the home country.
The old country.
Sorry, the old country. My apologies. Yeah, not my strongest one.
Apology not accepted.
No, I wasn't apologizing for it. Not my strongest one, but still pretty good, I think. Pretty solid.
Rolls off the tongue.
It's pretty... bosses do. We come up with... We polish turds.
I'd describe it as a timeless classic.
Now I'm going to boss my way to the next segment. Aaron, you got an IMDb list for us?
I absolutely do. We're going back to another classic recast. This is by user Dead Clown. It is Game of Thrones recast, 80s and 90s. They've gone deep with this recast. There's 100 people on it.
Wow.
So I'm just going to reel off some names. Mm. Tell me what you think of them. Harrison Ford as Eddard Stark.
Ugh. Nope.
Ralph Macchio, the Karate Kid, as Jon Snow.
Ugh. No.
You're gonna like this one. Hervé Villechaize as Tyrion Lannister.
That's a real role reversal.
Yeah, yeah.
Who? From
the snake eating its own tail.
Fantasy Island.
Who is Tyrion? Val Kilmer as Jaime Lannister.
I don't hate that, but I don't mind comedy
to the role.
What do you reckon about this face-off? Andre the Giant as the Mountain and Danny Trejo as the Hound.
Danny Trejo
is like 5 foot two.
He's not that small, but he's actually quite short. He's like 5'7".
I reckon he's like 4'8".
The short man's Danny DeVito. How about the Hoff as Euron Greyjoy?
Oh, this is making me a little bit sick.
John Goodman as Robert Baratheon.
This sounds like a.
Yeah, actually, that one's pretty good.
Yeah,
that one's pretty good.
I get on board with that.
Yeah, it sounds like a parody version. They're casting a parody for a parody movie of Game of Thrones.
If you were going to make a parody 20 years ago,
you won't be saying that after these two, Morgan. Chris Farley as Samwell Tarly and John Candy as Varys. What do you got to say for yourself now? Dustin Diamond as Podrick.
Really?
What?
Oh, yeah.
Dustin Diamond?
This is upsetting.
No. As Pod, no.
This is so upsetting.
Michael Caine. No. Michael Caine as Davos.
He makes a dog sex tape. He can't.
This is like, you know that... Do you know that image of a thing of the... It's supposed to... It's like these four people that look like five people that look like all the people from Friends. But it's just like a regular person that looks kind of like David Schwimmer and someone looks a little bit like...
Very upsetting.
And it's very upsetting. That's how I feel as you're reading off all these names. It's really upsetting.
I haven't seen that, Scott.
It's so gross. Just type in Friends lookalike,
we'll find Friends lookalike
meme and you'll come across it.
And just topping it off, our man Tony...
I was about to say Aaron. When did we get to... Yeah, when
our
did
man
we get
Tony
to boss?
Danza,
yeah,
Tony. The boss, is... Sirio Farrell, the guy who teaches Arya how to sword fight. Yeah.
That's not a big enough role for Danza.
I would have liked him maybe as like a... I think he should have been the Mountain. Just hit with a baseball bat. And those grey tracks and pants.
Yeah. Like he teaches Arya with a wooden stick, so maybe he can just teach her with a baseball bat.
Yeah.
I like Dancer playing... I prefer Dancer to play Bran myself.
Yeah, he's more of a Bran type. He's not as like elegant as the water dancer.
Can't imagine Jon him Snow. Saying, what do we say to death? Hey, yo, not today.
Not today,
bub.
Hey, yo. All right, maybe he'd make a good Ned.
He'd just play all of them, really.
Mm-hmm. Well, no, he probably couldn't.
All right,
let's just rewrite a new character.
Tony Danza's one-man Game of Thrones stage show.
And he'll play each character as Tony, because it's the only way he knows how.
Yeah, and they're all called Tony as well.
Tony Stark, yeah. Tony Baratheon.
You see what's wrong with Tony Stark, don't you? Tony Greyjoy.
Tony Targaryen. With her brother, Tony Targaryen.
Coming up against the Tony King.
Tony Greyjoy.
The Tony Walkers.
The Tony Walkers. Tony Walkers.
Tony sends his regards. Baseball bat to the stomach.
All right, I'm in on this. Let's say.
I'd like to see him chop his own hand off with a baseball bat.
Would you call it Who's the Thrones or Game of Boss?
I think it's Game of Boss.
Game of Boss.
Game of Boss.
I like it.
The one man Tony Danza stage show.
Oh man, I'd watch Who's the Boss, I'd watch the shit out of that.
Anyway, guys, final thoughts on Who's the Boss?
On that question, Who's the Boss?
Samantha. Oh, Mona.
Mona. I don't know where you're getting Mona from.
Mona. She's got ultimate control. From what we saw, she has the final say in letting Tony through the door. So he can't be the boss and Angela can't be the boss.
I disagree. I reckon Angela's the boss.
Angela's the boss? Well, that is the conclusion that they come to in
exactly.
That.
Exactly. Who am I to question? Who's the boss?
Mm-hmm.
It's the oracle of our times.
Mm. I'm going to say Samantha. I like Samantha the most. She can be the boss.
I'm going with Angela.
All right, we got a majority.
But
interesting. Well, I went to Samantha. I went Samantha first, so maybe I'll
change it.
Back, we'll have a new tiebreak.
Can there be be co-bosses?
I don't think so. And the fact that you're even stating that means the worm's moving further away from you.
Oh,
It's not who's the bosses.
And Jez, you're flip flopping around. It's not very boss.
Got to be decisive.
Okay. Well, Scott wins by default.
What can I say?
Because you're the worm, Morgan. So.
Yeah. Okay, well,
that's true.
Congratulations, Scott.
So I'll happily take the mantle.
Scott is the boss.
Scott is the Samantha.
I would like to
boss.
He has the power to edit us all out and just have this podcast with just him talking.
Was Scott the Samantha in when we did Sex and the City as well?
Always.
I don't know.
That checks out.
I would like to thank Tony Danza. I would like to thank whoever played Angela.
Judith Light.
Judith Light. I would like to thank.
I think it was a dog from.
I'd like to thank the dog from Broad City. I would also like to thank the hat and the said mullet that it was paired with.
Thank Trevor from GTA 5.
I'd like to thank Trevor from GTA 5. I'd like to thank the coach that died in the finale.
The cast of Game of Boss.
No. I have nothing to do with that. And I'm the boss,
what about
what I say goes.
Are you going to thank the Shoes the Boss clothing stores for all your outfitting needs?
I will thank them for their steady.
When the credits roll up, it's Scott dressed by Shoes the Boss.
Steady and constant sponsorship through these difficult and trying times.
Even though you're a head in the jar, you still love their shoes.
I do. I like to look at them.
He needs them now more than ever. Yeah, it's the little things that are getting
even,
him through.
Even
the
bosses like to dream.
Smell of fresh Italian leather.
Fresh? Yeah, straight off the cow onto your foot.
Stop you there, Jez.
Still bloody.
Well, this has been fun to be back here. And now it's a good thing we started recording remotely. Because we, much like Tony Danza, we knew this was coming. So we were prepared for the pandemic and continue to bring
light into your lives.
Not,
there you go.
Not smiles, but like the exhalation of air out of your nose on occasion.
Exactly. And maybe something to make your commute slightly better because it's a lonely commute because no one's on the road these days.
Yeah.
The commute to and from
the 8 seconds from bedroom to study.
Maybe I'm the only one who's not working from home at the moment.
We're gonna cut this down to 8 seconds. To keep it commute friendly.
The Tony Danza version.
One of us saying who's the boss, and then someone else saying Scott's the boss, and then roll credits.
All right. Well, I think we were able to achieve a fair bit here. So we're able to work out that Scott's the boss, and we're able to work out that who's the boss has aged pretty well, which was, I got to say, quite surprising, but not unwelcome. It's good to find a little gem here and there. I personally probably won't go out and watch any more of this, but if I've actually watched a little bit of normal TV recently, if it comes on, I'm going to watch that episode.
Mm. Stuff might actually just be on now.
Mm. Exactly.
They're going to start putting something on.
The game has changed. The players are the same, but the game has changed. So we'll probably just leave it there. As always, jump on our Facebook, suggest something to watch. If you can rate and review on your podcasting platform of choice, that will always go a long way to getting us out to more people. Thank you, Jez.
Thank you.
Thank you, Aaron.
Thank you.
And thank you, boss.
No, I was really hoping you'd say that. Thank you, employee.